praise the Lord for having to see you all tonight. God is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Glad I have him back for most of you anyway. And we are still traveling on our journey. This is meeting number 13 out of 21. And the question that God has been speaking to your hearts and that you can bless as we've been studying the Bible during these meetings. Tonight our topic is one is good or and before we get into our topic, will you join me as we go to the Lord? Dear Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we can have to come together in meeting. This year, let the Sabbath day bring you for the hours that we are able to study your word and to join together in meeting. Look to you and your teaching and your teaching. But Father, we must be to be yourself to us in your deliberate to pray your word that you would have our hearts and minds written to what you would have done. Father, we don't need to do things that we need to do to be made to teach the word. And to speak to us, Lord, open our hearts and our hearts and minds to your command. When I was a young man, just a few years ago, there was a TV program that came on TV, and I used to get to watch this program. It was called Born It Good. Born It Good. In the TV media, play the role of Born It on the movie track. Every program, you go by and look out for one of the people in the one of the Many of us in this room would be here in saved us up to have made it through alive. And if we may not make it through alive, but many of us are thinking of and we can come to other ways that we can change the shift that we experience once. We should know things that the Bible has to say on this shift. Now, when God created man, he didn't create man with shift. So that he didn't create man thinking about man feeling person with God. He created man, obviously, to live forever with him. You know, he was created so that we could create his God, and we were created so that we could have fellowship with him and relationship with him forever and ever and ever. He didn't create us with death on his mind. So, after God had created Adam, he looked around at everything that he had written to him, and the Bible says in Revelation Genesis 1:31, that's the other one in the Bible, it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good." Very good. There was no death, there was no sickness, there was no sorrow on time of day when God made it in the first place. And Genesis 2:15, this is what it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden he may freely eat." Now understand that man is living in a paradise where there were nothing bad, nothing good. There is no H-1N1 virus. There are no people running around with guns shooting people, but we say that we have people. That's it. Let me just make a point about these events. They are going to get worse. They are not going to get better. We are living in that state. And I always say to you, now, none of these things will happen, however, in the Garden of Eden. It's perfect. Because what the Lord told him, you can see his only tree in the garden. But, he said in verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, but in the day that you eat thereof, you shall be what? Surely God." He said, if you go into the area of disconnection from me, I'm paraphrasing. If you go into the area of disconnection from me, through disobedience, then you are unleashing death because it's not one decision. And once you get outside of that, you get into this area where you're disconnected from me, and you will surely die. Now, in fact, we have this Genesis, the devil using the person as his medium appeared to be and to tempt her to disobey God. And he tempted her by telling her to eat or tempting her to eat from the tree of that which had been fruit. Now, when Eve explained to the serpent that God said you can't eat of that tree, because if you eat of it, you shall surely die, the serpent said to her, "You shall not surely die." Now, this is the first lie in the Bible about death. Actually, it's the first lie in the Bible, period. But the first lie in the Bible is about the essential. Death. You shall not surely die. Now, Eve prayed, unfortunately, to believe the devil, and she chose to follow him. Because of her actions, she chose to follow him as opposed to following the command of God. Now, because of their behavior, their actions, and their decisions, God was forced to separate Adam and Eve from the tree of life. The tree of life, by the way, is in the garden of peace. He said, "You can eat of all these trees, everything that's true. The tree of life is right there. You can eat of all these, but just that man, don't eat of these." So, in Genesis 3:22, because now they have listened to the lie, the first lie was, "You shall not surely be what? You shall not die." First lie. And the first lie about death.
and Genesis 3:22, it says, "And the Lord said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now, unless he put forth his hand, he also the tree of life, and eat it, and live forever." And I put in these sentences in my notebook, in this simple condition. It's not that God doesn't want us to live, but He doesn't want us to live forever in this sinful condition. So, He took him out of the garden, and in death became a king upon all of mankind because of this single condition. He was separated from God, he was separated from the source of life, and in addition, he was separated from the tree of life. So his destiny, all he has to look forward to now, is blessed. Now, God told Adam at that time, he says, "In the sweat of your face," this is Genesis 3:19, God speaks, "In the sweat of your face, shall you eat bread, and you return unto the ground. For out of it you were taken, for death you are, and unto death shall you return." Now, I want you to pay careful attention to the language of God's music, and to pay careful attention to the language of Jesus in all the scriptures that we're going to read tonight, because what happens when people have preconceptions about things, they don't read what it says, they're reading the words that they're thinking what they believe about it, or have been told. I want you to pay close attention to exactly what the Bible says. He says, "For out of this world person," he says, "death you are, and unto death you shall return." He says, "You are taken out of death, you. And you are going to go back to that death." Now, let's notice in how Adam was created. Genesis 3, verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, understand that the word here, "man" is what? It didn't say God gave him a living soul. It didn't say that was one part of his nature. It says when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he became a living soul. In other words, it said he became a living person. He became a living person then. Now, it says that God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a soul. So we can conclude from Scripture that the body, flesh, and breath is a soul. So in death, the body minus the breath, or when the breath leaves the creature, you have what? A corpse or a dead person. So, you all follow me? If the body, flesh, and breath is a living soul, then death, when the breath is removed, then you have a dead person or a non-living soul. That is not a living soul when the breath is gone. That is not. Now, here's what Solomon has to say about death. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, that would be on page 689 in the seminar Bible. Now, I want everybody to pay close attention to this. This is what understanding this truth tonight is a pivotal truth, a pivotal step to understanding spiritual things. This people are so confused in Christendom over what we're studying here tonight. We are going to understand this. This is what Solomon has to say about death. Ecclesiastes 4:7. "Then shall the death return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Now, what is the spirit that the scripture is speaking about here that returns to God? What did God give the man? What did God do to man when he created him? the breath of life. God breathing his man, so it is that breath of life that goes back to God when the man or the woman dies. Is that clear to everyone? John said, which I left down, I wrote that down, good. Verse 27 and verse 3, that would be on page 569 in your seminar Bible. Just to make this very, very clear, we are not making this up. We don't make up things here. We just read what the Bible says. And the person says, well, what do you believe, Brother Tim? Or Brother John? Brother Chris? What do you believe? Open the Bible and read it, and that's what you believe. What do you open the Bible and read it? Open the next page. Read the next. If it's in the book, that's what we believe. This is what it says. Verse 27 and verse 3. He says, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. Now you will notice that he's using the word breath and spirit interchangeably. Did you see that? So, when the breath of God is breathed into Adam, it is the same as the Spirit. So, how is the Spirit in the nostrils? Well, the reason the Spirit is in the nostrils is that the Spirit is speaking to us through the breath. That's what's in your nostrils, isn't it? Everybody's doing it. Spirit of God's in your nostrils. All right. Psalm 143 and 146 and verse 3. This is what it says. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no trust. Verse 4. I'm sorry, that's 654 in the Son of Man. Yeah, I've got to go faster because why are you in here? But last meeting, he went 15 minutes over. I've got to give him the 15 minutes back tonight. So we've got to go faster here to the focus tonight. All right, okay. One thing. Have not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, from whom there is no help. Verse 4, his breath goes forth, he returns to his earth, in that very day, his thoughts spread. It says, his breath goes forth, he returns to the earth, in that very day, not the next day, in that very day, his thoughts spread. Now, some say that it's the body that goes to the grave, but the inner man, or the soul, or whatever label they want to put on the thing that's not the body, that might go to heaven. Well, if that was true, assuming that that was true, you would think if the inner man, or the soul, or something like that went to heaven, that they would have some thoughts. Would you think that? Well, the Bible says in that very day, it's thoughts, that means it's thoughts, feet, body, no thoughts. How can you be in heaven and not have any thoughts? It just doesn't make sense, does it? So it says, if death goes forth, you return to the earth, it's thoughts, feet. Now, that also goes for purgatory, paradise, hell. Whatever you think the soul goes, even if you say you're ready to help, well, you've got to be thinking something while he's on it, right? He's putting you down with the Bible says, this thought says. Psalm 6, the thought, just a little bit, the Bible is reading this thing in our Bible. Thank God we can read from the Bible. Thank God the Word of God is true. And it's clear that everyone who just wants to read and to read it. For in death, there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who shall give you thanks? No remembrance of you in death. In the grave, who shall give you thanks? So if you're dead, no remembrance of God or even life. And if you're in the grave, you're certainly not going to be given him thanks. This is what the Bible says. Psalm 115, verse 17, it says, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into what? Silence. So not only are they not thoughts, they're not even talking. Silence. Now the Bible is clear here. It says when the breath leaves the body returns to the earth, and that the conscious part of the man is stopped by God. So if you thought the body goes back to the earth. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5. This is what it says. If you're reading from the book of books, God's holy words of Bible. Ecclesiastes 9, 5, 6:37, in the Seminar Bible, it says, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know how much? Not anything. If you're dead, according to the Bible, you don't know anything. So if one of these spirits on one of these TV programs wanting to be talking to somebody on the other side, he may be talking to somebody, but it's not a dead person. Now, maybe you're talking to a spirit, and I don't doubt that they do that. But he's not talking to the dead person that they're supposed to be talking to, because he says the dead know not anything. If they're talking to dead Aunt Susan or dead grandma, then the Bible is enough. So then I've got to either believe the Word of God or believe this. I almost said idiot, but. So that would be a nice thing to say. What's the funny word that I use? This disbelief in testing. I would not be able to believe that this disbelief in testing or the word of God. What is the case of belief? The word of God. The dead know not anything. Then he goes on to say, never have they any more reward, or the memory of them was forgotten, and eventually it does happen. Also, their love, their hatred, and their energy was now what? First, never had they any more portion forever. For how long? Forever in anything that is done upon the same. So, according to the Bible, how much does God know? Nothing, not a thing, not a mix, nothing. But, not a thing. Why? Because you're dead. Ecclesiastes 9:10. This is what it says. Whatever your hand trying to do it with all your might, for there is neither work, nor plan, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave or the dead. Nothing in the grave or the dead. No work, no knowledge, no wisdom, nothing. Now, Job 14:10, the Bible is full of these things about the subject, and I believe in God being the same way. Because he knew that the enemy was going to try everything he could to deceive his people. I'm not sure that he's talking about the world. It doesn't surprise me that the world is going to change it. But what surprises me is that the church is going to change it. I don't know how many funerals I've been to where they stood over the casket, and one breath, they say that the brother or sister is lying here in the casket, and in the next breath, they're saying they're looking down on us from our head, from in heaven. So I'm like, which is it? Are they dead in the casket, or are they looking from heaven? But I've been to so many of those things where they're looking down from heaven. And you see these blessings, you know, that they do something nice on the sporting floor, and you turn up to heaven for them to see. Residents, grand teachers, the people in heaven. And because I'm getting ready to die. I'm going to live all everybody goes this way. So be strong and show yourself a man. Well, fortunately, the Bible tells us to give us an answer. Isn't it wonderful? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 29, that would be page 280 in your seminar Bible. And this is why Pastor is not telling you about the Holy Spirit and the Pentecost. And Peter is a preacher. Now, understand, Jesus has already been crucified, and he's already ministered at his time down the earth. He's already been crucified. He's already been buried. He's already been resurrected. And he's already appeared back up in the heavens. And the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all these people. And Peter is now a preacher. So I need to think that that's right. And that's 229. This is what Peter says. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you as the patriarch David, that he was both dead and buried, and the sepulcher of his grave was with us unto this day. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your foes your footstool. Now, Peter says of David, he says that he's going the way of all the earth. He says David is not ascended into heaven. David remained after God's own heart. So he's not ascended into heaven. He's dead, and he's buried, and his grave is right over there. Well, if he went the way of all the earth, where do you think all of the people in the earth go when they die? They die, they go to the grave, and they rest. They do not ascend into heaven according to what the Bible says. They go to the grave, and that's where they are resting. Now, the writer of Hebrews writes concerning Abraham and other patriarchs. Hebrews 11 and 8. That would be page 1197. So you understand, nobody goes to purgatory. Nobody's going to heaven. All the earth's got to go the same way. They're not going to purgatory. They're not going to heaven. They're not going to hell. They're not going to paradise. They're not going to Nirvana or any of those other places that people are prepared to go. All the earth goes to the grave. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place, which he should later receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign land. By faith, I'm sorry, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the coming promise, for he looked for a city which has a foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. Verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report in faith, received not the promise. Verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Instead of God's people who have died in time past, going to their reward in heaven, God has a better plan that all of us are going to be made perfect together. And so this, in the last day, the trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. All of those, David and all the rest of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them, all of the dead saints are going to rise first, and then we who are alive, it says, in 1 Thessalonians, where's that? Chapter 4. all of us are going to rise, and we're going to meet the Lord everywhere. We will all be perfected together. We're not putting into heaven on the metering plant. We're not. We're not metering people in the heaven. I'll take 100 today, 1,000 tomorrow. Everybody's doing it once. Let's all see one absolutely. Everybody is going at once. Revelation 22:12, this is what it says. It says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Now, the reward is going to be given when Jesus comes. Not at death. The point is crazy from the Bible that man doesn't go to heaven or hell or paradise or purgatory, but he waits in the grave until Jesus comes, and Jesus is going to come to reward everyone. You're not going to get a reward before everyone else does. Then, chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And as many of them that sleep, as many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to sin and everlasting contempt." Well, what did he say they were doing in the dust of the earth? And I want to make something to do, which is a very dear company. Is that when a person dies, they have gone into death. When you go to sleep at night, you are dead. That's a temporary death. But when a person dies, it's just like this. They go into death. I did have surgery last night. I didn't do this. And I just wanted to do the medical treatment. And I had never seen this anesthesia. And the doctor determined that I had a deepening infection. I don't know if I actually had one, or he just needed to earn some more money. But he said I had a deepening infection, and I needed to go in for surgery. I was going in to see because I had this swelling factor. But he said, "You got a deviated septum and you need surgery on your nose." So, surgery is simply a swelling factor and it's only deviated to the operating. That's all it is. It's the operating room. They deviated to the operating room. They did all that too. And then the green went in and this gentleman comes up and he says, "You can't do it." He said, "I want you to start counting from 100 backwards." He said, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it." And the next thing I know, he said, "What's up, Mr. Jones?" I said, "I'm 97. Now, we're all done." Now, it was like, to me, it was like a question. And it was like, I started counting backwards. I got to 97 or 98, and then they were waking me up. I looked at him thinking, I didn't understand. I looked at him and I thought, this is just, it's like, you're gone, and then almost 1,000 years. 1,000 years could have passed. 2,000 years could have passed between my 98 and 97, you see. But to me, it was like instantaneous. That's what it's going to be like when Jesus comes. It says, "And the very Christ shall rise." So you don't remember who you were to. It'll be like, they went to sleep and you have to go. I want to tell you this. Come to me. Come to me. So, he says, "I'm going to I will make up to everlasting life and stand to everlasting content. And I'm going to go to sleep and then have to be finally, in 7 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 12, Samuel tells King David, some of the prophets of David, that from your very secret spirit, and you shall sleep with your heart, the heart of the only death asleep. Jesus himself, by the way, calls death asleep. John chapter 11, you know the story, the Lord and Lazarus, Martha, and Lazarus dies, and speaks to Jesus from the sin Lazarus is dead, and now I'm just wondering if my son is not as well. What is this? Well, that's all right. But Lazarus passed away because of Jesus, because the woman who loved is sick, and Jesus came to see my gift. And then, the disciples that we're going to go, even to the Roman chapter 11, John chapter 11, and Lazarus lived down there in Bethany, Jesus was in West Africa to see him, and he told him to go to 2 days in Lazarus' place. And the Lazarus, Jesus loved him. So, first Peter's initial chapter, this is from page 366 of the New Testament, he says, these things say to me, after they say to him, after he said to them, I stand by to sleep, but this is Jesus said, he's sleeping. This is why, though, that I may awake him out of bed. Sleep. So, Jesus is rising from the sleep. So my pastor friend who referred to the religions of people believing what he calls Christ, and that's the word Jesus. So all through the Bible, death is referred to as sleep. That's a good way to express what it is. A person goes to sleep. They will not sleep. Jesus said, Lazarus is asleep. And I'm going to go and wake him up. And the disciples said in verse 12, Lord, if he's sleeping, he's doing well. He's going to get better if he's resting now. In verse 13, it says, Jesus spoke of his sleep. If he was sleeping, Jesus was saying that he was sleeping, and Jesus was saying, he was sleeping. So they thought it was spoken of him taking the rest of his sleep. Then Jesus said to them, sleep. That is so. Jesus called death asleep. And if Jesus called death asleep, that's exactly what death is. Now, when Martha came out running and weeping in verse 21, then Martha said to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have done it. But I know that even now, whatsoever you shall ask God, he will give it to you. And Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. So even Martha expected that once Lazarus died, that in the last day there was going to be a resurrection. She didn't expect to see him for the resurrection. She didn't expect Lazarus to come back and speak to his spirit or anything like that. She expected never to see Lazarus again until the resurrection. In the last day at the very end of the world. So Jesus says to her, verse 25, I am the resurrection. I am. And he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And when he was brought to the grave, Jesus demonstrated for them, and I am so glad he performed this miracle, to show that he had power and victory over death itself. And in verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, down hand and foot with ministry, and his face was bound with a cloth, and Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Jesus did say, "Lazarus, come down from heaven." He didn't say, "Lazarus, come out of purgatory." He didn't say, "Lazarus, I'm freeing you from hell." He said, "Lazarus, come with. Come out of the grave, because that's where you are." Now, in the judgment, when Jesus said, "Come forth," said he, with his grave clothes covering his body. Now, Paul describes the events that are going to happen in Jesus' time when he can expect to experience this great reconciliation with all the things that went before us and get to be with Jesus forever. First Corinthians 15, verse 51, that's page 1146, 1146. "For though I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment." Verse 52. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Verse 53. "For this corruptible must put on flesh, incorruptible, and this mortal must put on flesh." But if we are going to put on immortality, then it must mean that you don't have immortality now. So the whole notion of having an immortal soul, according to this scripture, and the Bible itself, he says, you're going to put on immortality when the life changes. In the twinkling of an eye, when the last trump sounds, that's when you get to put on immortality. You're not going to put on immortality in this body, and nobody who is in this body has immortality today. Hallelujah. Verse 54. "So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, both the fire from the tree. All the breath blows up stone, all the breath on earth, one more comfort." Hallelujah. I am so looking forward to that day, are you? Jesus told his disciples in John 5:28, "Now will not exist, for the hour is coming, in which all that are here, in the glory, shall hear his voice." He didn't say the hour is coming when everybody in heaven. Where are they? In the grave. It's hard to understand how anybody could get confused on this, but I was for all of my life until I came to this blessed truth. "Then all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, if people went to heaven or hell when they died, why would they need to be in the resurrection too? Well, why would they? Either the righteous or the unrighteous, but the righteous are already in heaven, and the unrighteous are already in hell. Why even bother with this resurrection business? And why would Jesus say in Revelation 22:12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be"? If they've already gotten their reward, why is he coming to give everybody a reward? Okay. So, this seems to be a very plain Bible truth. When people die, they sleep in the grave. They rest in the grave. They have no more sight. They have no more peace. And Jesus comes and raises his hand. And then he's going to resurrect them, and they're going to all be united with all of the people who have accepted Jesus. And he's going to give us new bodies that will be Christians. The Bible says, church might yet appear. But we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be strong. For we shall see Him as He is. We're going to have the same kind of thought that Jesus has. When we come to church, we're going to bestow us with this blessing when we come. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4 17. That's pipe. I told you that the Bible could be known if it's called that if it's no pipe. If it's no, after it's called that if it's no, comma, or throughout. And the intensity of that one comma changed the whole meaning of what is being communicated. Now, let's look at what this sermon would be if we put the comma in a totally different place. If we said, and assuredly, Jesus said unto him, and he said unto him, assuredly, I say unto you today, comma, you will be the king who called us. The first statement, because truly I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. The second thing I say unto you today, you will be with me in paradise. Now let's look at the biblical evidence to see this would be the position for Bible support. Because remember, the comment was put there by the translator at their own orientation. The translations, by the way, are not inspired, which is the original of the text. So, just know that. So, this is a common mistake. When people are trying to change their parents spiritually, they take one verse of scripture that seems not to agree with all the other verses of scripture, and they take that one verse and try to throw out all the rest of them because of what they think this one verse is saying. It would be tantamount to me giving a long sentence and then all the posts down in a straight line, and after I really a quarter mile of fence, I look back at the post and I see one that seems to be off from the rest of it. Now, what an intelligent person said, moving all the posts to try to line up with that one that seems to be off, or would you go back to that one to find out what's wrong with it? So, why would we take three verses of scripture and say, well, see, this is what it's going to throw out everything else? So it makes sense to go back. If you find a difficult text, let's go back and study it and find out what that is saying. Because the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Anywhere, it does not contradict itself. So we need to study and find out what the passage is saying. Secondly, let's ask the question that the Bible says, was Jesus in paradise that day? The Bible tells us that he was crucified on Friday, and he died on Friday. And Friday he was buried. On Sunday morning he appeared to Mary after the resurrection, and she wanted to touch him, but he restrained her. And in John 20, verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." He said, "But go to your brothers and say to them, I will say to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." So Jesus had not yet ascended to heaven or paradise on Sunday. How could he be telling the truth on Friday that you're going to be with me there today? It didn't happen. So, the evidence is clear. The comma is placed in the wrong place by the translator, and Jesus is actually telling that truth, but today, I'm telling you. Today, because of your faith that you see me, you're looking at me and you're seeing just that moment. Today, as I'm bleeding and dying for the whole world, today, when everything looks perfect, today, when nothing seems as if it's going to be. Today is my best in sense. Just tell me this, you see, that you can see. That is some of the most powerful that we have. It's one thing to look back at a resurrection, but it's two to look at a resurrection. and depending on a being executed by a human woman leader. As we look at it, that everybody loves him. The Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us your glory. And we know, Lord, that we don't have anything to do with you. Because you have given to us. We pray that you would